This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yeah, keep an eye on that calendar. We are 2 weeks away.
Oh, yeah.
Tigers, Dodgers, baseball's back.
It's a great time. Sweet spot of the season, of the year. Got March Madness, we got baseball.
It's on the horizon. Yeah. Perfect time to check in with the Tiger manager, AJ Hinch. AJ, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to hear from you guys. It's been baseball season for a while now. I know you guys just said it's the sweet spot, but we've been going at it.
Well, it's the sweet spot because the games will actually mean something. And I know when we ask you this, you always say, well, it's one of 162. But yeah, we'll finally get a chance to see baseball here in Detroit because we actually do have good weather right now.
Oh, really? Nice. We have, hopefully you can dial that up for the first homestand after the West Coast swing. If you can guarantee that, that'd be awesome. So Miggy's in town, and it always brings back the idea that opening day where it snowed, and he went oppo and slid into second. So we don't need another snow day on opening day.
Yeah. I actually had a Miggy question. I'll just ask it here. It's a two-parter. Does he have a future in coaching, and can you confirm that he is in the best shape of his life for spring training?
Well, I mean, Miggy can do whatever Miggy wants. It's fun to have him around. He spent a lot of time with his family. You know, he came in and if you think about the culture of our team and just the story around us the last 12 months, he's one of the few guys that saw Comerica packed and saw Comerica during playoff runs and World Series and things that this team aspires to be. And so, you know, he came in and he was so proud of our group last year. And, you know, that's a different team than when he retired. We have a few new players. There are obviously some guys that played with him. But, you know, having him around and lobbing a few coaching things and just his laugh and – I mean, this is the happiest he is in spring training. This is not the same version as a player when he just wanted to get to the season. But I love having him here to mentor, you know, our young kids in PD or our guys around the big leagues that recognize him as one of the all-time greats.
Let's talk Spencer Torkelson. You know, he had a home run yesterday, so he's top of mind. Spring this year, much different than last year. What's so different with him right now?
Well, I think his confidence is growing, which is good. I think he realized he's fighting to make this roster. That always, you know, brings out a lot of good things in players. And then, you know, some of the subtle adjustments, you know, it does take, you know, sort of a trained eye to look at the stance, the athleticism, the approach, the way he's talking about hitting, the way that, you know, he's balancing sort of his search to hit the ball hard, but also for power. All of that has been taken into the games. And so he's gone oppo, he went pull side, it's been a late count. He's come off of bat at bats and been a productive hitter. And, you know, I kind of love the edge that he's playing with, you know, in his own little methodical way. He's just focused on the things that he can control and he's trying to make this team. So I don't know if any or all of that is different. There's a maturation process for these hitters, but it's certainly been fun to watch him, you know, come in and push to be the best player he can be all the way in the spring and not just, like, quote unquote, prepare for the season. He's got to try to make this team.
Has he done enough to be able to trust the production? How do you measure what he's done in spring training versus what you've seen in previous years?
You know, it's actually a really good topic that I'll try to explain. It's because I think it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? So when you look at a player and a guy has a terrible spring, if you like the player, you're like, oh, it's just the spring. He's going to be fine during the season. If you're critical of the player, and I mean all of us, it's like, oh my God, and, you know, the alarm bells go off. And on the flip side, if somebody really goes off during the spring, you know, if you're kind of, you know, interested in that player being on your team, you can say, like, he's turned the corner. And if you don't, it's like, oh, it's just spring training. So I think you got to be careful with spring evaluation. But at the same time, what's a player to do other than go and do his best and perform and see where it goes? I mean, the real challenges are going to be during the season for all these guys. But I'd rather guys be doing well than scuffling in the spring. I mean, that's what we're here for.
You mentioned the difference in the roster when we asked about Miguel Cabrera, that it's a different roster now. How are the roster decisions different this year for you as you approach the end of spring training versus previous seasons that you've been here in Detroit?
Yeah, so I think the names have changed. You know, there are some guys that have come to spring the last couple of years and known they've been on the team, and now they're fighting for roster spots. I think the depth is really, really good. I mean, we're not going on like a spring ERA, you know, ranking system or a batting average ranking system. I mean, we're going to need to put together the best team that we can take to LA, and that might align with spring training performance. It might not, but I think the names are different. I think the specific positions that we're trying to fill are a little bit different. I mean, the rotation guys are pitching awesome. Casey Mize has been great. Kenta has made some adjustments. Cater Montero, you know, has great stuff. And when he locks it in the strike zone, he's shown some dominant things. Jackson Jobe has been everything is advertised. So that's four guys for two spots in the rotation, and that in itself shows the strength of the depth of this team. And then lastly, I think we're going to need to make some calls at the end of spring based on injury. We know Matt Vierling's going to miss, you know, some of the season. We're still holding out hope that this nerve wakes up with Parker Meadows and he's able to put together a good week and a half of spring training and get himself to LA. That's undetermined, which leaves a lot of decisions on, you know, the bench bats or who's playing the outfield or who's playing in center field, things like that, that may not be resolved until we get to those exhibition games in San Francisco.
You mentioned the rotation, and there's only a couple spots for more than a couple guys. With Jackson Jobe, does he have to be a starter to make the team, or would you take him even in a bullpen role kind of like he was at the end of last season?
Yeah, we see him as a starter. And I think the best thing for him, I mean, when he came to the bullpen last year, that was a unique experience. You know, it was the playoffs and we were trying to make the playoffs. And, you know, when we talked about having the biggest impact that we could have, I mean, Jackson has some of the best stuff on our team. So we put him in the pen and I told him then, I mean, this could be the one snippet in your career where you're in the bullpen. I hope it is. And so this spring, it's been entirely a conversation about the rotation and I don't see it changing, you know, for the beginning of the season. If he makes his team, it's going to be in the rotation and he'll pitch, you know, towards the back end of the rotation. If he doesn't, it's because that we feel like the rotation is better a different way and he needs things to work on. So it's been rotation only.
When you look at the prospects of starting the season, as you mentioned, without Vierling and possibly without Parker Meadows, what are some of the combinations you may use in center field and just in terms of the lineup to make things, as you mentioned, you know, productive?
Right. Well, I think the first thing, we'll wait for Parker and see where that's at. In the meantime, Wenzel Perez, who's had a little bit of back stiffness, and because of, you know, Parker being out up to this date and Vierling being out to start the season, we're treating Wenzel with, you know, a ton of patience and being uber cautious. So You know, he's going to get some time in center field. Riley Green played center yesterday. He'll play center today. You know, it's not a position that I'm going to want to just turn over to him. You know, either way, with Parker's playing, then obviously he's playing center field. If Parker doesn't make the season, you know, we'll have to make determination how much center field that we're going to push Riley to do. So those two guys are going to get a ton of action. I've put Ryan Kreidler out there and Jamai Jones, two guys trying to make the rotation. I mean, trying to make the team. Those guys, you know, could possibly fill in. And but a lot of it just centers around the Parker decision first on whether he can make the season or not. And then we'll adjust accordingly. But some combination of those other four players, if Parker's unavailable.
Talking to Tiger manager A.J. Hinch this morning, 2 weeks out from their first game of the season. Javi Baez, nobody gets a more visceral reaction on talk radio than Javi. What are you seeing with his hip? Is he slated to be the everyday shortstop at this point?
So, well, into the first part, what I'm seeing with his hip is that he's feeling better and better every day. Some of that is physically, and I think some of it is mentally. You know, he had a surgery that he had to rehab, and now we got to get him away from rehab and into just playing, you know, with freedom and knowing. Now, he slid and he's dove after a ball, and you know, he's fully rotated at the plate. Like, he's been cleared and has no limitations at all. And we'll see where that takes him. Now, as far as the second part, you know, is he the everyday shortstop? And I think the answer is to be determined. But I can tell you, like, today he's playing third base, which is going to be new for everybody, but not new to Javi. Javi did that, you know, a few years back when he was one of the best, you know, an almost original players moving around the field playing at an all-star caliber level. So we're going to reintroduce a few positions to him. It's going to start today when the lineup comes out. He's playing third, Sweeney's playing short. There is room on the roster for both. And I'm going to play the best guy. And I think that's been something I've been very consistent about at the shortstop position. Obviously, Javi was hurt last year. Trent came up and did a really, really nice job. So, it's to be determined how that's all, you know, divvied up, so to speak, but it's going to be divvied up by quality of play. And everybody knows it. And I think it's been a good camp for Javi. It's been nice to see him, you know, sort of happy and healthy and doing the things that we need. And that way, better performance out of him and others to make these decisions moving forward. The thing that I caution against for everybody, and I know there's in baseball, there's this, who's the everyday this, who's the everyday that. And I think this team, the way we've shown the last, you know, year plus, is we're willing to put any combination out there to help us win that day's game. And that mentality is not going to change.
First base with Cole Keith. How has he made the transition? What are you seeing from him? And how confident are you that he is going to be able to be that everyday first baseman?
Colt, you know about Colt?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been really good. I mean, the glove is big. The adjustments are there. You know, I tried to caution everybody that there was going to be a learning curve and that it was okay for him to make a few mistakes down here. He actually hasn't made as many mistakes as I think I would have expected, just sort of like dropping a guy at first base for the first time in his career. He's naturally done some really good things. And then there's been a couple of reads and some depth issues, like things that even in a box score you're not going to see, that we're continuing to, you know, it's the timing on crashing on a pick play from Jake Rogers. It's coming off the bag at a certain angle to give yourself the right hop, you know, when a runner is on first. So not everything is sort of dictated to the ball hit to him. There's a lot for him to learn. Positioning himself when a ball is coming from Jace at third versus Sweeney at short versus Glaber at second. Those are all new things, and I know it sounds sort of coach speak, and it sounds like I'm focused on small things, but that's really what's going to make him comfortable. And he's been great. He's put in a ton of work. He and Miggy, I think, are going to work a little bit today, which is one of the reasons Miggy's in town. And Joey's been pretty relentless at his routine. So I have a ton of confidence in Colt in general, but he will figure out this position as we go. And then depending on how the roster is built, and, you know, for the rest of the balance of the roster, like, is Jahan factoring in? Where is Torque on this roster? Who else? You know, Andy played first yesterday on the back end, because in-game moves, as we've shown, is, you know, sometimes guys end up in different positions.
Yeah, that's actually the last thing I wanted to ask you about, is kind of a roster projection question. As Torkelson hits, as Jahan hits, they're both right-handed bats. They can both DH first base. Jahan's played the outfield. Can they both make the team, or do you have to take one or the other?
No, I think so. I mean, I think the combination, you know, first off, the opening day is the first deadline, right? Like, it's the first time where you have to declare, like, these are our 26. And so depending on our health, depending on who we're facing, I'm guessing we're going to get Blake Snell in that first series. I'm guessing we're going to get, you know, the Martin Perez, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon in the first homestand. I don't know what we're going to do yet. And not knowing if Parker's coming back soon, if he doesn't make the roster and comes back soon, does he start the roster, but we need to protect him? Like, those are going to determine the balance of the roster. But to answer your question, yes, I think there's a roster that can be made with both those guys. And while imperfect on the defensive front, it might help us offensively to combat some of the left-handed pitching that we're going to face. And then we can correct it along the way if it needs to change. I mean, we have depth, and we don't have to commit to a team on the first day of the season being the team for the rest of the season. And we're going to take into account, you know, how we can go series by series and put together the best team.
AJ, we'll talk to you again when the games are for real. We can't wait. Thank you.
You got it.
Yep. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys. See you.
Tiger manager AJ Hinch. It's 97.1. Guys, been telling you, if you end up in a car accident, you're going to be looking for somebody who cares about you, someone who wants to help you and look out for you, and that's KG Law. I don't want you getting the runaround, getting sent somewhere else. You deserve someone who cares. KG Law. It's their phone number, 877-KG-CARES, 877-KG-CARES.com. Lawrence KG is a Detroiter. He built his business with the idea that you're not just a number in this game. He's got a team that's been loyal. He's built from the start. They're going to look after you when you need it most. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. Visit KGCARES.com. That's K-A-J-Y, KGCARES.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom, you're sitting behind the glass listening to that AJ Hinch interview, and you had one key takeaway. What was it?
I believe they think Vierlein might be done for the season.
Based on which answer he gave?
The Javi third base answer. So they're playing, they're going to start playing him at third base today in spring training, give him more chances. They're preparing to have a right-handed bat at third base. Right?
Yeah.
He moves in and platoons with Young, or they'll work lineups and matchups, chaos, lineup chaos, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he alluded to that.
Between Javi, Sweeney, and
Young.
And Young at third base. And then also Green playing center yesterday.
Yes.
And going to play it again. They don't want to use Green in center field, but they might have to.
Because Vierlein is going to be potentially done for a while here, right? It's a rotator cuff issue, and if it's significant enough where he needs to undergo a surgery, you're not going to have him.
Well, he's out for the year if he has a surgery. I mean, it's strained rotator cuff. So I think what they're doing is giving it rest. I thought this at the time. They've got a month to buy here, 6 weeks to buy, because if he has surgery sometime in April, it's irrelevant to next year because he's a batter. Batters recover from Tommy John quicker than pitchers, obviously. So he'll be fine to go next year. So they're seeing if maybe they can get lucky here and that rest helps it. But their actions are speaking as if they're not going to have. Now, maybe I'm assuming it too soon, but we're only 2 weeks away today from the game in L.A.
Well, I mean, they also, it may be because Jace Young isn't hitting.
Also true.
And they, yes, they maybe they want a right-handed bat at third base, but if Vierlein is able to come back, do you want to be able to have an extra individual to just simply play third base? And it's not just Vierling's spot.
Is there's only so much time with him, and I don't know if he would answer it. Is Jace a lock to make this roster? Because if he doesn't, then they definitely need someone with a glove over a third base, and it would maybe allow them to keep an extra right-handed bat, which was the J-Hen Torque debate.
Right.
Again, there's only so many slots, and the lineup in the roster, as he pointed out, first day, a week later, a month later, they're going to tinker with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, is a big takeaway, that the 26 that are in L.A. probably won't be the 26 10 days later.
Right, on April 4th.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think a little delicacy with Torque in terms of, you know, he probably went into camp thinking he'd be in Toledo. And so if you have him on the opening day roster, I think it's easier. Well, I'm going to say quick because we don't have time. It's easier to bring Torque up from Toledo
than
for Torque to make the team after he earned it and then send him down because of the numbers crunch.
Right. I thought the Jobe thing was interesting, too. It's rotation or bust. They're not going to mess around. Either he's the starter and he's beginning baseball games, or he won't be on the team when they break for camp. Let's get to Heather with the news.
A Livonia woman is facing charges in connection to a human trafficking ring at massage parlors in Oakland and Wayne counties. This woman was charged with 2 counts of human trafficking and keeping a house of prostitution after a 4-month investigation. So 4 women from China who don't speak English were rescued from 3 separate massage parlors operated by this woman. Investigators learned that these women were allegedly being forced to live in the massage parlors in Commerce Township, Farmington Hills, and Westland, working all day from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week, and they didn't have access to transportation, medical care, friends, family. They were also really not being paid at all for their services, maybe minimal payment, if any. It's just such an awful story. Thankfully, these women were rescued. They were taken to Common Ground and Care House in Oakland County, so they're going to receive victim services. This woman, the suspect, was arraigned on Thursday. She was given a $100,000 bond. Obviously, if she does get out, she has to surrender her passport, wear a GPS tether. This is interesting. There's a woman, a Brazilian woman, who went viral after she refused to give up her window seat to a crying child. And now she says she is officially suing not only the airline, but also the passenger who filmed her. So this woman, Jennifer Castro, says that she was filmed by another passenger that was not the kid's mom,
right,
by somebody else. She was, you know, the person was saying some bad things about her, posted the video online, which led to a lot of online shaming. She says she's no longer doing the work she used to do. She used to be a banker. It's affected her, not only her mental health, but her personal life. And she is suing, and she not only wants money, we don't know how much she's asking for, but she just wants to prevent similar public shaming from happening in the future. And she said, I know everyone's got their own opinion on this. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You can have your opinion. But she's like, I reserved that seat. It was my seat. And yeah. She didn't do anything wrong.
Well, by the letter of the law, she didn't.
No.
And so I think we did talk about this when it happened.
Did we? I don't remember if we did or not.
And she doesn't have to give up her seat. The question is, does she have a case?
I think she does.
Is there?
I don't know about the airline, but if somebody posts a video of you doing nothing wrong and shames you for it, and it goes viral all over the internet, and you lose your job and your normalcy, and you're now
those are
riddled
damages,
with anxiety, and it ruins your reputation.
Yeah.
I think there's a case. Yeah.
I got to tell you, things that make me want to move to Montana and live off the grid, shaming and canceling are very high.
Yeah. Like, I.
Like, so for such a whatever, maybe she's in the wrong from a
humanity standpoint.
A viewpoint. Yeah. But is this something that your life should be changed for?
Right.
It's like, come on, man. People get a life, stop videoing stuff.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't have cameras in your house, Heather.
You could just shame Colin.
Just takes one time just to where every parent snaps at some point on their child, okay? But it's on video now.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, interesting case for sure.
Yeah.
A woman in New York is suing the Girl Scouts after a study claimed that they found heavy metals and pesticides in their cookies.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the woman filed a class action lawsuit complaint on Monday asking for $5 million from the Girl Scouts and their cookie manufacturers. And in the suit, she claims that the Girl Scouts produce and distribute products which are contaminated with dangerous heavy metals, including aluminum, arsenic, lead, mercury, and pesticides. And the suit points to some extensive testing that was conducted last year that claims that 100% of the products tested, at least 4 out of 5 heavy metals were detected. So this is a study that kind of went viral, and people online saw and they thought the cookies were going to be discontinued, never being made again. And then there is an article that said, hold on, here's something to note. The study compared the findings to EPA water safety standards, not to, and that doesn't apply to food. They didn't do testing with the FDA and food safety standards. And Girl Scouts did release a statement saying, hey, our cookies are safe to consume and manufactured in accordance with all food safety regulations, and that heavy metals can occur naturally in soil, and trace amounts of this pesticide can be found in produce as well. And they say, we don't add metals to our Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask, the amount in them is where the sticky situation is. Nobody wants any of that in their food. Everybody's rightfully alarmed. But because if it's not at an abnormal level, then...
Because the FDA and USDA also says we do allow residues of pesticides and metals into our foods, not just Girl Scout cookies, but at levels that are deemed not harmful. So
I'm still eating Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, I had some this year too. Yeah,
Same.
I'll save my next one about a clogged toilet and a long flight.
Oh, look out.
Heather with the news.
For my next news.
Something to look forward to later in the show. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. So whether it's personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not a tax organization with a random individual you're never going to meet. All you have to do is visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Much of our focus with the Lions has been upgrading the pass rush. You saw how the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Everybody's wanted to pair Aiden Hutchinson up with somebody. It's Myles Garrett, nope. Max Crosby, nope. Trey Hendrickson, maybe a bit of a pipe dream. Yeah. But the focus has been about pass rush and improving the defense through the line of scrimmage. What about the offense? Zeitler leaves Detroit for Tennessee. Signs with the Titans yesterday. And John, I'll put on a tee for you. Is this actually a bigger need now, the offensive line versus the edge?
Yeah, I think it is right now. I thought it was yesterday. can they add edge rushers? There's Aziz Ojulari is out there. He's an example. I don't know. He's a perfect fit for the Lions. But if you don't have a backup to two guys that are older. Now, Graham Glasgow could play 17 games. And what you're paying him, you're basically getting what you're paying for. I don't think he had a terrible year. He had some bad moments. Mm-hmm. And I think he's still a really good guard. Frank is one of the best centers in the NFL. And I know that that relationship between Jared Goff and Frank Ragnow is one that it's got to be protected. But I don't know that we see him for 17 games. Christian Mahogany, while I really liked what I saw when he was on the field, and he jumped over everybody to get that start when Zeitler was down, mm-hmm. I thought he played well. But who's the backup to either of those three guys? Now, I think Mahogany, young, should be able to withstand a little bit more wear and tear than the two old guys. But if Frank goes down, okay, the easy answer is you move Graham Glasgow to center.
Inside, yes.
But then who do you play at left guard?
I'm not going to dispute that they need to water the garden, to use Holmes' phrase.
They need bodies.
But you're talking depth. They need a starting defensive end right now. It can't be Marcus Davenport. I could get by with moving Graham back to his natural right guard position, because he talked to us last year, and you had talked about it. It's hard to switch sides after you've established in this league. You put Graham back to his more comfortable right side where he's got some muscle memory and some
okay,
some,
if Graham goes down, who do you got?
If Aiden goes down, who do I have? I mean, like, we could do the game about backups. I'm trying to fill out my starting 22 right now. I don't have a defensive end. I can Band-Aid the offensive line because of Mahogany and because of Glasgow. It's not my preference, but I need a starting defensive end. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I have to beat these great quarterbacks up and down my schedule and in the postseason and in the Super Bowl.
I agree, but I think there's also this little bit of factor where, what do we know about Jared Goff? If you don't protect him, he becomes much less productive at quarterback. Now, he's had two really good years, great years. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a need to address the offensive line, because will Giovanni Manu be a guard, a tackle? All right, they re-signed Dan Skipper.
He better be able to be on the two deep. I mean, 2 years into your career, if you're not on the two deep, it was a bad pick, right?
I agree, but do you... Is his skill set going to mean that he's going to be better suited to play tackle?
Right, so you still need depth in the interior.
You still need depth on the interior. And we didn't get a chance to see him much last year at all.
No.
And so we don't necessarily know what that's going to be like. But I do think that there is questions about Frank's health, Graham's health, performance, and you need to address that, because it's directly related to what you have done so well since Jared Goff has been here, save the first year, while they didn't have some of these things in place. Now, all of a sudden, you've had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. You've had a lot of success. But if one of those guys goes down, I have major concerns about what this offense can even do.
What's the biggest need for the Lions right now? Guard or edge? 248-539-9797. We spent a lot of time on pass rush. I would defend that as the biggest need on this team still today, even losing Zeitler. And I wanted Zeitler back. I'm not telling you're not going to upgrade the offensive line or look to upgrade the offensive line. But right now, it's Marcus Davenport opposite Aiden Hutchinson. That's just a non-starter for me. If Davenport's a depth piece, they got him on a cheap enough deal, I'm not going to rave about it.
Josh Pascal, not that this is a great upgrade.
Yeah.
Josh Pascal is probably your starting edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson versus Marcus Davenport.
Now you're going to tell me Levi Onwuzurike can kick out and play edge too.
He's going to be the guy, as we heard last year, that plays nose, that plays defensive tackle, edge. I think he can play guard too.
You just think any big guy Yeah. Any non-athlete, as you put it earlier.
I think there needs to be a sense of urgency for that guard position because, yes, I think we all know that with the 28 pick, they could go edge, they could go guard. And Brett Holmes could go anywhere. Same thing with the 60 pick, right? They could do both or either, right?
I would want both, yeah.
There are two guys out there right now because it's starting to get a little thin in terms of guys that you can sign with some experience that could come in here and be effective on that offensive line. I think Brandon Scherff, I talked about him last week. He is still available. He's not going to last long. Mekhi Becton, I wasn't a huge fan of him coming out of college as a tackle, and he proved that right with the Jets. He did not play well as a young guy and had some growing up to do, had some weight issues. Now, he's still a monster of a human being, but we saw last year with the Philadelphia Eagles, he could play that guard spot. I believe he was playing right guard. So now all of a sudden, you have the ability to move around Christian Mahogany, and maybe Graham doesn't even start. He's the guy that backs up all three guys.
Because he can play all three positions,
right.
And he has played all three positions with the Lions.
And you can get some more, maybe you can even get another year out of him because of the wear and tear.
248-539-9797. Both are needs. What's the biggest need? And you can fill in the blanks on the ticket text. People are saying, case for both. Guard's the bigger need next year. Mahogany looked good enough, but Glasgow was not, especially as the season progressed. At least there's a small chance that Davenport would be healthy.
Well, there is a gamble.
Has three sacks over the last three seasons. I'm putting zero stock in him being a steady, anything like that. Texter says, sad we didn't draft Ed Oliver, Micah Parsons, or Jalen Carter, Doug, in Rochester. There would be your depth there. Like, some of this has to be, they drafted depth on the offensive line, Mahogany being one of these examples.
Yep.
Manu being an even higher pick. Like, if you don't have something in there, those are wasted picks.
Well, okay, so we don't know about Manu. I do think that I kind of made up my mind about Colby Sorsdahl. Now, guys do have the ability to get better. We've seen him for a couple of years now, and it's not been good anytime he's been in there at any position, guard or tackle. So I just don't feel like there's much relief if somebody goes down.
If we don't protect Goff, we don't win more than 10 games next year, from an unnamed texter. Another one says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's guard. It's a unit that affects every other skill position. One end can't kill a defense. Yeah, but you talk about the impact that one defensive end can make on a defense.
Sure.
You talk about getting single blocked, right? Getting a one-on-one matchup, winning that one-on-one. All of a sudden, my corner was actually two steps late in coverage, but it doesn't matter because the quarterback's on his ass and the play's over.
Right.
I would argue a defensive end can cover up for someone who's blown an assignment or a step behind somebody or doesn't fill the right gap. Plays over, defensive end one is one-on-one.
Okay, if we're going to play that game, then, hey, did you see J-Mo running wide open? Oh, it's too bad Jared Goff was laying on his ass.
His point is one superior to the other. I'm telling you, edge is a more premier position in the NFL for a reason.
There's no question it's a more premier position.
And they don't have a starter at it. At least I can tell you Glasgow and Mahogany started late in the season together on a 15-win team on an offense that was very good.
Well, this is where has Brad Holmes fallen in love with his own guys too much in re-signing Levi Onwuzurike and not... Maybe there's too much faith that Josh Pascal is going to be that opposite edge of Aiden Hutchinson.
More ticket text, 248-539-9797. Edge is obviously the bigger need. John can say O-line is the reason we've had success, but the defense is what's holding us back. And if we want to get to the next level, that's the unit that has to take the biggest leap.
So I'm not going to sit here and say just health makes up the difference. Health will make a big difference. Not going to make up all the difference, but when take Brad Holmes at his word. When he looked back and this team was playing early in the season, they were a good defense and they didn't have an opposite edge.
Bro, it hasn't even been 24 hours since Zeitler left and you guys are talking about urgency. Give Brad a chance to make a move, please.
The chance is there. And at what point did Brad Holmes, in conversations with Zeitler's agent or with him itself, did he realize we're not going to have him? You've got to shift, and you've got to shift quickly because there's not a lot of guards out there with experience to go and sign.
Za'Darius was waived days ago, and we haven't seen an edge move. I mean, let's not mistake wanting urgency for panic.
Oh, it's not panic.
We're not
no.
panicking. We're talking about our football team.
Right. But so it, I'll put Za'Darius Smith in that same thing. If you want another edge, you had one on your roster, and if you didn't want to pay the roster bonus and you want to restructure the contract that Za'Darius Smith is playing under, then maybe those negotiations are going on right now, and Za'Darius is back. Because he would be one of few free agents still available that fits what the Detroit Lions need in regards to an edge that can be a three or four down guy, can stop the run and also apply pressure.
People have opinions. We'll get to them. 248-539-9797. With Zeitler gone, is guard actually the bigger need, or is it still edge? It's 97.1.
Hey, we all know what's going on right now. We've got some great college basketball, and FanDuel is bringing you a Dog of the Day Profit Boost token. One of the best parts about the tournament, whether it's conference tournament or NCAA tournament, is when an underdog takes down a powerhouse. We all love the upset. Right now, those upsets can get even better, because if your underdog bet wins, you're going to land even more winnings with a profit boost. This is your chance to ride the long shot, the scrappy team. However you define the underdog, they just refuse to go. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's just no better time to do it. The app is easy to use. And when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your Dog of the Day with a profit boost. Because after all, we know anything can happen in March. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Wager of at least plus 100 odds required. Bonus issued is now a trouble. Profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, there's two camps. No surprise, John is team offensive line. Says Zeitler's gone. Address the O-line. It's the biggest pressing need for Detroit right now. Mm-hmm. I'm team pass rush. Marcus Davenport is their starting defensive end today. I don't envision that being the case when the season starts. They're going to have to address that spot. I could see a world where Mahogany and Glasgow are the guards with Frank in the middle. I'd also like them to address guard, but I think the more pressing need is pass rush.
I also think Pascal is probably your starter now versus Davenport.
If you look at the quarterbacks Detroit's going to play next year, they will face Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, Jaden Daniels. They're going to face really good quarterbacks. And I think a texter put it great at the end of the last conversation there. Yeah, I got to make sure I solidify the offense. That's kind of what's gotten this team where they are. But to get where they need to go, it's defense.
Defense has to play better. I mean, there's no question about it. Defense has to be better than it was 2 years ago. Last year it was. And they were ravaged by injury. And again, I'm not saying it's just health that makes this team better. It will make them better. Is it going to be enough? No. They're going to have to find a way to create more pass rush. I would prefer to have an experienced offensive guard and solidify that offensive line, and then use that 28 pick on an edge, who I think will be better than Davenport or will be better than Pascal.
I'm not even mad at that, because I would argue the bigger investment would be the first round pick as opposed to a 1 year veteran kind of band-aid guard. The bigger investment would be in a pass rush. It'd be in a guy with a 4 and even 5 year commitment. And ideally, you know, Brad traded up last year to get a player he really liked in Terry and Arnold. If there's a pass rusher he loves, mm-hmm. Skip up a couple spots, give up that maybe that extra third that you picked up in the comp from the comp formula from Aaron Glenn leaving. Like, there's some tools at Brad's disposal to upgrade both of these spots. But I think the one that more resources, whether that's money in free agency or draft capital, it should be pass rush more than guard. You guys let us know. Let's get to Blake. You're in Detroit and you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on? I definitely agree that the priority is pass rush. Limping into the season with Marcus Davenport and Pascal is not the answer, especially, you know, with Aiden coming back from injury. We can't really say he's going to be Aiden right out the gate. And then you just named a list of those quarterbacks who we will have to face, not just during the regular season, but we've seen what Philly did in the Super Bowl for them to win. In order to help Jared Goff, we need to help him on the defensive side, which is creating more pressure. Because we know we don't want him to get into a shootout with any of these quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl. I don't, because I think that's what our goal really is. It's not to go 15-2 and win the division championship anymore. So I definitely think the attention is to the defense. Yeah, go ahead and draft us someone and let Mahogany and Glasgow run the show.
Do you think there's a world where that's what they do, John? That those are your starters at the beginning of the season? Or do you think Brad will add a starting caliber guard?
I think he'll add a starting caliber guard. I do, and I think he needs to. And I love Graham, and I think he's a really good player. But I would rather have him ready when called upon to play that center position.
Like a flex backup.
To play either guard position. And have somebody come in, whether it's a Scherf, it's a Becton. I mean, there's a couple other guys out there that could come in and provide that aren't. Like Brandon Scherf's not going to play center.
Right.
Never going to play center. He's too stiff.
No, but he would be a similar move to Zeitler a year ago, just in the sense that it'd be likely a one-year deal for a guy in his 30s who's had some good seasons under his belt. Zeitler was better than Scherf, but Scherf is a player that is still out there and available if Detroit wants to make a move today. The texter says, give him a chance. Give Brad a chance to make a move. Well, I think that's one that makes a lot of sense. And you threw out Mekhi Becton. And here's the thing. If they draft Edge at 28, I don't think very far behind it would be a significant piece on the offensive line, watering the garden. I think Holmes is going to he'll draft an offensive lineman in the first 100 or so picks. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he's got 3 picks. So I think one of them will be used on the offensive line. I think one needs to be used on Edge, even if they sign at either position.
Yeah, if they added Za'Darius Smith, that doesn't stop me from wanting to draft a pass rusher.
Right. Or from recognizing whether this is where you can manipulate not drafting for need, but drafting best available, like they did with Tyrion Arnold. We all knew that they needed a corner last year. They needed to address the secondary, and they did it in free agency or with a trade and with free agency with Amik Robertson. And then obviously in the draft, I think the edge and the offensive line are the biggest areas of need. And instead of waiting for 28 and then just taking best available, you can create that by jumping up a few spots if whether an offensive lineman or an edge defender falls further than you thought they would.
Ticket texter says, Vildor is gone. I don't care what Brad does now. I don't want to have to watch that bum play another down. Thank God. Vildor is signing within the last hour reported. He will be, I think, a Buccaneer. So won't be
That's
back.
What it sounds like, yeah.
Won't be back with Detroit. Texter says, of course, John would say O-line. Says the more desperate need. He played O-line. That's John's prejudice.
Okay.
All right. You're not exactly
football guy.
Yeah. Have you seen Micah Parsons' Twitter? Why does he have a lion emoji in his last tweet? John, are we on the verge of a big Micah Parsons trade?
So we've moved on from Trey Hendrickson to trading for Micah Parsons. Trey Hendrickson is going to take a late second or an early third. Has already been established. Micah Parsons, we're back into the pipe dream of Myles Garrett trading, paying, Max Crosby trading, paying of multiple firsts and a monster contract. Do you think, okay, I understand Myles Garrett, rightfully so, highest paid non-quarterback.
Yeah.
Where does Micah Parsons fall in that?
He'll end up in that stratosphere. John, why does it say it's my time with a Lions logo?
Because he's an animal.
It is not a Lions logo.
Emoji.
It is the lion emoji.
Emoji. Right. It is a lion emoji.
Because he's roaring.
Because he wants to roar in the Motor City opposite Aiden Hutchins.
You read into that anything you want.
It's happening. No, I have no idea. It's funny how, though, we do go from one to the... if not Myles Garrett, then this other transformative defensive lineman.
Yeah. And we have a transformative defensive lineman.
Why not two? Anyway, I would just point out Brad Holmes did call on Myles Garrett, right?
And
Max Crosby. So it's not out of the question that he's calling up Jarrah and saying, hey, I saw this lion emoji. What's the deal here?
Yep.
All right. We got Dear John and AJ Hinch in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.